Good morning. We are continuing our look at the letter of 1 John. We've seen him talk about the timeless message of who Jesus is, that he wants to share with us and help us to know who he is. And he's talked about walking in the light and acknowledging our sin. And today we're going to continue with these ideas of walking in the light and how we can know that we are really with and abide with God. There's a parable that Jesus teaches in the Gospel of Matthew that kind of sets the stage for what we're going to see in John. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus tells a parable about two sons that a man has. And he says, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing. And he answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" And the Pharisees answered, "Well, the second one, obviously." And what Jesus is introducing here is a question of what matters most, what we say or what we do. The first son said, "I won't," but he regretted it and he went. The second one said, "I will," but then he never got around to doing it. And what this was Jesus was saying the first son is like the tax collectors and the sinners and the prostitutes, the people who in their life said, "I'm not going to live your way, God," but then afterwards came to Jesus and followed Jesus. The second son represented the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests, the ones who said, "I'm going to follow you, God," but when Jesus showed up, they didn't. They didn't follow him. They didn't serve him. And so what Jesus is pointing out, that what we say isn't what matters. And the same is true in our lives, isn't it? It doesn't matter if I say, "Oh, I'm going to go to your game," if I don't go to the game. Right? It doesn't matter if I say, "I'm going to take care of that," and then I don't take care of it. What matters is, did I take care of it or not? And that's what John is getting at as well. And so as we look at the things that we have seen in the first chapter and at the very beginning of the second chapter about following God, what John is saying, what Jesus says as well, is that what we do matters more than what we say. Coming down and saying, I'm going to follow Jesus is wonderful and great, but it doesn't matter unless you back it up with action. To say, not just to say I followed Jesus, but then to live it out. And so, truly, what we do matters more than what we say. We can proclaim Jesus, but do we live out that proclamation in our lives? Well, we've seen in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 6, John pointed out, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. If we say we have fellowship with him, but walk in the darkness, we lie. In verse 8, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, because everybody has sin. What we do is we sin. Later on in verse 10, he said, if we say that we have not sinned, well, again, what we say matters very little. What do we do? And the truth is that we have sinned. And so John is, throughout the first chapter, built this focus on people who say they're going to do certain things or that they do certain things, but their lives don't live it out. And in chapter 2, verse 3, we pick up in our passage, we're going to look at verses 3 through 11 today. In verse 6 of chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 10, it was always people who say they're going to do certain things or they say they're certain ways. And he says, no, they're not. And so the question is what, how do we know that we do follow, that we are in the light? And so that's what he's saying here in verse 3. He says, by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Doing, not saying, not proclaiming his commandments, but keeping them. This is how we know that we have come to know him. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Similar to, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth, which was verse 6 of chapter 1. Here, verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. We should do as he has done, as Jesus has done. Now, he's talking about, I love the focus. It's all focused towards the end, you might say. There are two words that are used that convey this idea of the end. The first one is commandment, and the other one is perfected. Now, we might not think of commandment as being a focused on the end, but the word commandment is a Greek word, entole, and it's a compound word. En means in. It's just, you know, it's an E instead of an I. But tole brings us the idea of result, the resulting what's going to come. So when you read the idea of commandment, it's not just that it's a proclamation from God, but in the Greek, it's actually an idea. It's focused on getting to in the end. What is the result in the end? It's not just the beginning, but where are we going with this commandment? What's the purpose? What's its goal? Matters. And that's what that word means. It's having to do with and focusing on the end result. The other word, though, that word perfected, it doesn't mean being made whole or perfect, having no sin. It has the idea, it's the word teleo, or teleao, you might say. It is the idea of to bring to an end, to complete. So, for instance, a student working on a piece of music gets to the point where they say, I've perfected it. What do we mean when we say I've perfected a piece of work? It doesn't mean that you've made it perfect. What it means is that you've practiced it and you've practiced it and you've learned it to the point where you can't do anything more with it. You know it inside and out. You've added nuances in the way that you play it. You've gotten as good as you can. You've perfected that piece. Every time you go back to that piece, you can never get better with it. You'll maybe not do so good with it the next time. But when we've perfected something, we've come to its conclusion, its completeness. And that's what he's talking about there in verse 5, that the one who keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. It's come to its completion. The one who keeps his commandments, his word, there's nowhere else to go. The love of God has been perfected. It's come to its completeness. Now, in both of these words, entole and then teleao, there is the root word or the basic word that they're built off of, which is telos. And it means end, purpose. And so both of these are focusing us on the end. And that's truly where we find out how we're doing. If you go back to verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him is an interesting composition of a phrase. By this we know is the present tense. Right now we can know that we have come to know him. That's perfect. That's something that has happened in the past and it's having ongoing present application. If we keep his commandments. It's the idea that something has happened in the past, and I couldn't know the fullness of it at that time. But now, coming closer to the end, I'm able to see that it's true. By this we know that we have come to know him. Paul is saying that you can't really know that you follow Jesus or that you've come to know Him, that you know Him, you can't really know it at that first moment. You know, you think about, for instance, a child who comes forward and they say, I want to believe in Jesus Christ. I want to follow Him. Now, say they're 6 years old. Does a six-year-old really understand all that is embodied and accompanies following Jesus Christ? No. A 26-year-old who comes to know Jesus Christ doesn't know everything. None of us at the very beginning knows everything that entails. But we know that we want to start that journey. And then years later, you know, six-year-old's been baptized. They go through school. They go to high school. Maybe they go off and get a job, or they go to college. And maybe their life takes a wandering path at times, right? And there are times when they're walking with God. And then there are other times when they're going off and doing their own thing. And they wonder in their hearts, am I really following Jesus? Do I really believe? Did that decision I made as a child, is it true today? And the only way we can really know that is to look backwards and to say, what's the evidence that I see? And yeah, maybe I wandered, but do I always come back? Do I see in my life a genuine desire to serve and to follow God? We can't know it at the beginning. The truth of our faith, the claim that we make when we follow Jesus, is only proven afterwards as we look backwards on it. I know this might seem kind of weird, but it's true. For instance, an example maybe would be marriage. You know, a husband or a man and a woman, they come forward in a church and they say, till death do us part, and I'm going to hold on to this person, and this person's going to be this, and I'm going to be that. And it's always so much fun, isn't it? The flowers, the nice clothing. But that's day one, the wedding. 10 years later, if that couple is divorced, as we look back, we say, well, obviously they didn't really mean it. That wasn't true. They weren't able to see it through. Now, there might be a lot of reasons for that, but it's as we look back. The day of the wedding, they had no intent. Nobody shows up at their wedding day and says, boy, I hope this at least lasts 5 years, and I can... Nobody does that. We have every intention. We have every desire to make it through. It's only looking back that we see, was it real? Did it work? And we can be pretty proud, you know, how, yeah, we're at 18 years, we're at 20 years, we're at 25 years. Look at back at the 25 years. Well, it's only after the next 25, if we're lucky enough, that we can look back and say, have we continued? It's only looking back that we're really able to see the truth of those statements that we made. And the same thing is with walking with Jesus. It's easy to come down and to say, I believe in Jesus, I'm going to follow Him. But we don't find out the truth of that statement until we've walked and we can look back and see the evidence. Yeah, I've been walking with Him. Or we look back and we see the evidence. No, I really haven't been walking with Him. Only then. And everybody, when they come down to follow, you know, they mean it. They want it. They have every intention of following Him. John is not dealing with people outside the church. He's talking about people within the church who have proclaimed to know Jesus, who claim to know God, who claim to walk with Him, and yet he says, but look at their lives. There's no evidence. They say they have fellowship with Him, but they walk in the darkness. They say they have no sin, but we all sin. They say they haven't sinned, but they do. He says here, this is how we can know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. And we can't know it at the beginning. It's only looking backwards that we can recognize, yeah, I'm holding true to what I said earlier. It's kind of like another example would be a trust fall. You know, I've never done it. I probably never will. I don't know if I trust anybody enough, you know, to catch me. As long as you stand there on the edge, you'll never know. It's only when the guy starts going backwards and actually goes beyond the point of no return that he can find out, is everybody going to catch him or not? The proclamation of we'll catch you is always there, but it's not until you actually go that you find out, is it true? And that's where this is coming from. It's after the fact that we see the truth. John says in verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Commandment and word are equal. They're used interchangeably there. The proclamations of God are the commandments, those things that he wants us to do that will have that final result. Notice it's positive, negative, positive. Whoever keeps his commandments, by this we know that we have come to know him, we keep his commandments. And then in verse 5, whoever keeps his word. In the middle is the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments. What he is saying here then, and what he's showing us, and this is kind of an interesting, difficult thing to say, is he's not telling us how we can know God. He isn't telling us the steps to make sure that we're in fellowship with God. Notice in verse 3 it was, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. We look back and we see in our lives, have I kept his commandments? And if I see that, yeah, I am following God's ways, I'm living like he wants me to, then I can know, yes, I abide with him. What John is saying here is, you know, I think a lot of times we look at obedience and keeping God's commandments as how we abide with him. If I do this and if I do that, I'll have fellowship with God, and I'll abide with him. And he says, no, that's not what it is. Obedience isn't the means. It's not the way to get to know him. Obedience is the sign. Obedience is the sign that we are already in, not the way, not the means of getting in. Does that make sense? What he's saying here is if I look at my life and I see that I'm living out God's ways, that's the proof to me that I've been walking with him. How do we have fellowship with God? Through Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus, that's it. When a person comes to know Jesus, they're not coming based on a standard of, well, all these commandments I've written down, and so I'm going to obey all these commandments. And as long as I obey all these commandments, I'm in. We do that sometimes. What we do is we create a transactional faith where if you do X, Y, and Z, you're okay. And that's done in lots of different ways. Well, you got to go to church, you got to tithe 10%, and you can't use any bad words. And as long as you do those things, you're all right. Right? And that's not the way it works. There's nothing about faith in that. That is all my works. How do we have fellowship with God? Through Jesus Christ, his Son. How do we earn it? We don't. We accept it by faith. And we just spend time with him. How do I know, as I have those moments of doubt, how do I know that I am really with him? Well, there's a sign, obedience. I look back in my life and I see, is there a basic path of, now granted, there's disobedience here. I'll get off that path. The flowers look good over there. I'm going to get off the path and go play in the meadow. But I come back. I come back to the track, come back to the path. And there it is. I can see it. Evidence. The sign. Obedience shows us, and that's what he's saying here. I've come to know him. The person who says I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. You can proclaim that you know God, but if you're not living out his ways, you don't know him. And John has a very specific commandment that he's really thinking about here. He has a very specific focus for his book as we've looked at walking in the light, as we've looked at confessing our sin. Now he's narrowing down on an issue that these false teachers that he's rebutting against, an issue that they have in their lives. And that's what he's going to show us. What is the sign that we can know that we are walking with God and that we do belong to him? He tells us in verse 7, Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment. Oh, thank you, John. You just cleared it up for us, didn't he? Isn't it so much clearer now? Yeah, I'm not telling you a new commandment. It's an old one. It's one you've had from the very beginning. On the other hand, it is a new commandment, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Let's just stop there and look at what is John getting at. I'm not teaching you or telling you a new commandment. I'm not writing you a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. What he's saying here is I, John, am not creating this. I, John, am not coming up with something new to add to your list, which is kind of what a lot of teachers like to do. You know, they come up with stuff to tell us to do. I was just, I was working in the kitchen yesterday. The kids like to turn on the radio and listen to the Christian stations, and they have like these, you know, little minutes of faith kind of nugget bits. And a teacher came on, and he was talking about how, as the Israelite, that you got to go through the wilderness. Moses led the Israelites through the wilderness, and he kept a written journal. God had told him to keep a written journal of all that God did. And then the pastor turned it into, are you keeping a journal? You need to keep a journal. What? That's what the Bible tells me I have to do as a believer. I have to keep a journal so that I know what God has done for me. He took something that is a nice word. Hey, it's a good idea. Keep a journal. And maybe I took it a little bit too harshly, but it came across to me as a law. You got to keep a journal, Christian. If you're going to be a good Christian, you better keep a journal so that you know when God is doing good things for you. How often do we do that? John says, look, I'm not writing anything new. This is an old commandment. It's one that you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. You've heard this since the very beginning. Which beginning, though? That's the new commandment part of it. See, it's an old commandment in the sense that I, John, didn't create it. It's a new commandment in the sense that it is true in him. This is a new commandment that arrived with Jesus. This is a new commandment in the sense that this wasn't coming from Moses. This wasn't coming from Noah. This wasn't coming from Abraham. This is a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It's a new commandment in the sense that it is wrapped up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's old in the sense that I, John, am not writing it to you and coming up with this. This goes back to Jesus. It's new in the sense that it began with Jesus in a big way. And he tells us what this commandment is in verse 9. The one who says he is in the light, the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And so now we start seeing for the very first time a glimpse of this really important theme in 1 John, loving one another. Love for the brethren. Notice in verses 3 through 5, we had the two positives surrounding a negative. You can know that you keep that you abide in him if you keep his commandments. Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God is perfected. And in the middle of that was the idea of the one who says, I've come to know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. In verses 9 through 11, John reverses that. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And does not know where he is going means he can trip over anything. He doesn't know where he's walking. In between those two negatives, we have the positive. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling. He'll step over anything that tries to make him trip. He can see where he is going. There is no cause for stumbling in him because he's walking in the light. And so what John is doing here is he's saying, as we go back and think about verse 3, by this we can know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And we look at that the proof is in the past. You know, the evidence, we see the proof of our faith by looking backwards, and obedience is the sign. What obedience is John really focused on is specifically this idea of loving one another. That's the commandment that he is looking for in his hearers' lives. That's the commandment that he's saying, these people, they say they walk in the light, but they're not walking in the light. They don't love one another. They don't love other believers. This is the commandment that, and we're going to look at it, and then we're going to go away, and we're going to go into some other things over the next few weeks, and then we're going to come back and look at it a little bit deeper. But this is the commandment that he's really wanting to focus on in 1 John. It's the idea of loving one another. As we look back in our life, as we look for that proof, as we say, what is the sign that I'm following him? Our love for one another. More than anything. I mean, think of it. This is probably the hardest thing to fake. I can fake being a good little Christian, goes to church with my Bible and sits in church and pays. I can write a check. I can pull out some money and throw it in a plate and feel pretty good about myself. You can fake those things. You can do them without caring. You can do those as an obligation, a way of paying your way. But loving those annoying hypocrites in that pew in front of you or that pew behind you, that person that can't seem to be able to breathe quietly, loving them is a little bit different, isn't it? They make so many mistakes. You know, there's a reason why Jesus refers to his followers as sheep. We all stink a bit. We're all a little silly. We're not that great. And it's easy to not be loving. And I think one of the greatest evidence that you really are walking with God is, do you have love for the brethren? You could extend that with, do you love those outside the church as well? Do you have love for those who don't know him? And we know that we're told, love your enemy, love your neighbor as yourself. We know that it extends beyond the church. We know that. But it's one of these things, if you can love your enemy, can't you love your friend? You know, if you can love your neighbor, shouldn't you be able to love your partners, the people that are closer to you? And if we can't love one another, if we don't show love for one another, what's the world going to think about us then? Why should the world think we're going to love them if we don't love one another? It's an extension. And it's not just an extension of John here, but it's even an extension of Jesus' teachings. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, going along with the idea of a new commandment, not a new one that's coming from John, but a new commandment that Jesus gave us in 34. John chapter 13, verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then in verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so John, taking this teaching that he received from Jesus on the night he was betrayed, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. He then says, this is how you can know you're walking with God. because you haven't committed adultery, not because you haven't taken anybody's possessions, not because you haven't committed murder. That's all well and good, but that's not the kind of commandment he's talking about. What he really wants us to focus on and how we can truly know if we are following Jesus Christ, if he abides in our hearts, if we walk in the light, it's a simple thing. How do you feel about fellow Christians? Do you love them? I'm not saying you're not annoyed by them, but can we get over that and still, you know how it is. That's just John. That's the way he is. We're working with him, but we love him. You know, Paul tells us to bear one another's burdens. Do we bear one another's burdens? The burden isn't just something external to us. Sometimes the burden's internal. That's just something that person's, that's their personality. That's something they're dealing with. That's something they're working with. But I love them anyway. See, the people that John is refuting here, they didn't love the brethren. They were trying to control them. They were trying to change them. They were trying to make them do all sorts of things. And John is writing them saying, look, this isn't Jesus. If you're living this way, you're not following Jesus. Because we all have sin. We all know we have sin. And if you're following Jesus, you're going to... I think of it like really any kind of relationship. Do you think of it. Do you have any relationship where your primary focus is trying to figure out what that other person thinks? Or are most of your relationships built on just spending time with one another? Right? We spend time with people that we like. If we see something in somebody that we admire, maybe we try to pick up on those traits. But over time, the people that you spend time with, they're going to start rubbing off on you. I was born in Ohio. I spent half of my life as a kid overseas in Europe. Do I sound European? No. Sometimes Amy's like, your accent's worse than mine. And she grew up in Texas. Why? The people I hang around with, the people I talk to, it's rubbed off on me. Looking back on my life, there was no conscious effort. Sometimes maybe there is, but there's no real big conscious effort to throw an accent around. Usually it happens when I'm lazy and tired. But looking back, I can say, oh, look at that evidence. I've been hanging around Texans. I sound like one sort of. The same thing is true with God. The more we abide with Him, the more we walk with Him, the more we just spend time with Him, reading His Word in prayer around other believers, you look back and you say, oh, wow, look at that. I talk more like God does than I used to. I think things the way He thinks things more than I used to. I actually love people that 5 years ago, I wouldn't have put up with them at all. But now I don't just put up with them. I actually love them. I like these people. I want them in my life. That's the sign. That's the evidence that you've been walking with Him. The love for the brethren. It's not how we get there. It's the evidence that we're there. And so I just want to, you know, the answer here, if you don't love your brothers in Christ, if you don't love your sisters in Christ, if there's a believer that you would just be happy if they dropped off the face of the planet, or at least were in a different church, they don't even have to drop off the face of the planet, just go somewhere else. Be somebody else's problem. That's not love. If you feel that way about another believer, you may love 90% of the believers out there, but if there's a tenth that you don't love, that you're just not loving them in Christ, the answer isn't to work harder on love. The answer is not to do. The answer is to be. To spend more time with Christ. To ask Him to start changing your heart, that you would love that other person or those other people more. And then to wait and see if He doesn't start changing your heart towards them and your heart starts becoming tender to those people to where you actually start liking them, to where you actually start loving them. Keeping His commandments, guarding, protecting is that word keep. It's not about the doing. It's the sign that it's already been done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that that You love us. We know that when we were first found by You, we weren't very loving. And we weren't easy to love. But You went out and sought us, and You've brought us home. You've cleaned us up. You've made us Your children and a part of Your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, that as we look back in our lives, that we could see evidence that we're walking with You, that we do keep Your commandments, that we do live out Your words. And specifically, Lord, I pray for us today that we would be able to see that we do love one another. Lord, we pray that if we don't see that evidence, that we would earnestly seek to love one another, to have Your love in our hearts for each other. Lord, if we need to forgive somebody for something they did, we pray that we would let it go and forgive them. That we would try to see them as You see them, just as You have seen us. Not based on all that's wrong, but based on Your Son, Jesus Christ, who's perfecting us, who's bringing us to completion. And Lord, we'll know this is how we have truly, Your love has been perfected in us. Not by how many scripture passages we know or how well we behave, but whether or not we love one another. So Father, we pray that You would help us to grow in love for each other and love for the world around us. Please, Lord, teach us how to love one another. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.